Welcome to Philosophy Club, where lifelong friends discuss life's questions.
Let's do it.
Okay, this one's pretty simple. What is mansplaining to start with, and how not to mansplain? My first thoughts of mansplaining are that I think I think it's gender neutral. Women can also mansplain. Two, I think that it's mostly when something is explained to someone and they don't want to hear about it is the essence of mansplaining. But I'm not
completely satisfied. What are y'all?
So what I consider mansplaining is not necessarily like when just a man is explaining anything. There's kind of two points where it has a negative connotation. One is unsolicited advice. You're doing something, some man comes over and is like, oh, this is how you do it, or let me explain it to you, when they aren't even assuming, oh, she might know how to do this. You know, I should at least ask if she wants my advice. So that's one. And then the tone and way they do it, which is in a condescending way, you know, making you feel like you don't know what you're doing. So that's how I would explain it. And a lot of times in mansplaining, usually they have no idea what they're talking about, or they're not right. In my experience, when someone's mansplained to me, does that make sense?
Yeah,
it does make sense.
Go ahead.
So do you agree that it's with Logan that it's, it doesn't actually have to do with the male gender? It could just be any party unsolicitedly explaining something to any other party in a condescending way.
No, I think it does have to be a man. I mean, I think there might be another term for that. You know, like if a woman came up and did the same thing, it's different because you are a man, and men have been putting, you know, women down for, you know, centuries and trying to tell them what they do. What to do and how to do, and we've kind of been put in a box. So I think it is a cultural thing where it pretty much has to be a man to make sense with that explanation. Otherwise, you would just call that unsolicited advice. But mansplaining, I do believe, has to do with the gender, usually a white male, in my experience, which I've been mansplained to many times, lots of times by my clients who try to tell me how to, you know, treat their animal, and that is really unfun. But that's a good example of one, especially when it's someone who isn't a professional trying to tell a professional what to do. That to me is like a very bing, ding, ding, like mansplain example.
So that's interesting that you talk about your clients. Do you find that it is mostly, so let's take the general definition of mansplaining that assumes it could be any party. Do you find that it's mostly men who do it?
Okay. Let's see. I'm trying to think. So if we're just looking at my clients and I'm trying to think about, take inventory of like who's doing it. Yes, I would say 80% are male. I do have women who like Google the shit out of things and they're like, listen, I looked this up. Here's all the articles I printed out, you know, whatever. And I would at least say in that they did some research and tried to like have a platform to stand on, where I think that with men, they tend to kind of talk out of their butts, you know? And no offense to you guys at all. It's just, I'm really not trying to put down like the male gender. It's just, as a woman, I think it's nice that you have me as a perspective, because I don't think it's a unique thing to happen. It happens a lot to females. And I think if you talk to any female, they'll have the experience of like, oh God, I hate that. So,
no, you are a critical component here, because without you, this would have been an hour of men talking out of their butts. So this is
mansplaining.
This is just mansplaining to one another about mansplaining. It would have been right. Really a thing to behold.
I know. Yeah.
What about cases where the man is or does have expertise?
Yeah. So I think that's a good question. And, you know, I've like had talks with people or listened to podcasts about this. So I'm not a professional, but I have an idea of this scenario. So let's say you're a woman and you go into a doctor's office and your doctor is a male and they're explaining to you your disease condition and whatever. to me, this is not unsolicited advice, but it depends the tone and the way in which they talk to you. For example, if you have a doctor or a surgeon that's like, well, duh, you shouldn't smoke, or, you know, kind of putting you down, belittling you unintentionally with how they speak, their tone, mannerisms, whatever, I would consider that mansplaining, even though that person is a professional and actually does have knowledge and might not be talking out of their ass, but it's the way in which they do it. At least that's my understanding. I have had that happen to me before. Usually with my experience, because I tend to follow medical stuff, it's usually like a mechanic, because I don't really understand cars very well. And sometimes they can just kind of like over-explain or kind of talk down to me like I'm a dummy. And I get it. I'm super ignorant with cars, but it's the way in which you speak to people, I think, that makes it mansplaining.
Are there analogous forms with the different power dynamics? So like an old person giving advice to a young person in an unsolicited and somewhat condescending way. Do we have a word for that? Or is that
that's just what you like said? The okay boomer. Advice? Like the okay boomer?
Yeah, yeah. That's that kind of meme.
Yes. I don't know if there's a word, but I know that I guess in our culture, like both social media and just in general, that was the trend. People are basically using the okay boomer thing, like they're, you know, say something a little kind of racist or sexist or whatever, and everyone's just like, okay. I think that's the analogy, but I do think it's very similar to mansplaining. Although I guess in that analogy, I think it more comes from not sex. I think both a male or female could do it, or any race. It's basically you talking down to a culture. So it'd be like me being like, you know, those Gen Zs are super lazy, you know, like that. So I'm now culturist. I don't think that's a word, but I think it has to do with kind of, yeah, the culture and the history. And like, we used to do it this way and you're doing it wrong. So it's a little bit different, but that's a very similar thing to mansplaining, I think.
Yeah, is this like a square rectangle problem where we have some overarching condescension and then mansplaining is just one subset of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry, and I'm sorry if I'm talking too much. I'm like, this is something girls talk about a lot. So,
no, this is very helpful because I don't think I've experienced personally much. And again, according to your definition, I can't really be mansplained to, but I am in the nice position of not being condescendingly talked to a lot. And I really hope that I don't commit it very often. So I'm not the expert here. So having you speak about it is quite, quite useful. Logan, what do you think about the idea that mansplaining really does have to be this gender dynamic?
I mean, we could define it that way, but like Sarah said, the okay boomer is a subset of like a similar thing. And although both might be unsolicited advice, I think you can still solicit advice and get mansplaining a result if the other person over explains. So I could accept the definition that mansplaining is specifically men to women if we acknowledge that it's part of like some larger overarching category, and then mansplaining is a very large subset of that category, because I do think that the okay boomer is an example of it. Or I kind of feel like there should be something for whenever someone is explaining something to someone else, and that someone else, the person receiving the explaining, knows more about that thing than the person giving the advice. And I feel like that's kind of a through line as well, or at least feels the person receiving the advice, or often just knowledge. Usually I think feels that they don't care, or they have adequate knowledge about whatever subject, you can stop talking. I don't know. I think that's kind of like a through line that is universal, and I think also part of mansplaining.
Yeah. And as far as the gender thing, like the reason why I think it has to be a man, I just don't think you can recreate that dynamic. And unfortunately, you guys will never be able to experience, just like I'm sure there's things I'll never be able to experience it.
Unfortunately. Big air quotes around unfortunately.
Well, just to get more information, I mean, like put yourself in someone else's shoes. Like if it was a man thing, you'd be like, oh, well, let me put myself in this situation and recreate it exactly. I think there's just a unique dynamic where you have the male talking to the female, because there's, you know, many, like hundreds of years of this dynamic that you can't recreate. You have a man mansplain to a man. It's not the same because there's not this underlying current of like sexism. And I don't know how to explain it. So I really feel like it has to be a man. But I agree that this, whatever this kind of overarching thing is condescension and like over-explaining. I think there is like an overarching term or a specific term for, you know, certain dynamics. But I just feel like the mansplaining can't be done between a man and a man. Or a man and like a small child or something. I think it has to be that unique dynamic because, I don't know, it's just very specific. Like when someone asks me about that, I'm like, I could probably name like 15 times that this has happened to me. And like that way it makes me feel. And I'm just like, it would not happen if it was a woman. I would still feel annoyed probably if the woman was, you know, still condescending, but it's a very unique power dynamic and sexism dynamic kind of thing. If that makes sense.
Here's a question. Why is it so aggravating to be mansplained or overexplained to? Because it seems quite aggravating.
Because it's kind of like, you know, like the, it's like the feeling of like, you know, everyone does like the dumb blonde jokes or whatever. Like you feel like that. Like basically you feel belittled and small. And, you know, we spend pretty much subconsciously our whole lives as women trying to outprove or to prove to men that we're just as good or smarter or at least, you know, that we level. We're the same level. And we're kind of fighting this uphill battle. And so for someone to just be like, you don't know what you're talking about, or you're an idiot, like it feels quite terrible. And I think it is unique because at least if it's a woman, I'm like, all right, that was kind of mean, but we're on the same team. We're both trying to fight this system. But when it's a man, it just feels like they win. Or, you know, here's another example of yet again how I'm viewed as this kind of dumb blonde or dumb idiot, you know? I just don't know how to explain it. If it was, you know, like a teenager had told me or an older person had told me or whatever, that is that unique feeling from it being from a male that really, I think, is what's so irking. And especially when, you know, you don't ask for it or, you know, I went to 4 years of grueling vet school and it's really hard to kind of have someone tell me what to do and how to do it when they have no idea. So I think that can be troubling as well. But I find the way in which that men do it is very different the way in the way that women do it, if that makes sense. I don't know how to explain it. It's just how they talk, how they speak. And I think that dynamic makes a difference. It can still be frustrating when I have like my, you know, anti-vaxxer women who are like, okay, you know, but at least they 9 times out of 10, they're like, here are the connections I found where this dog developed this cancer. And I'm like, got a good point. Let's talk about it. Versus I feel like men tend to be like, this is my way or the highway, and I won't hear it. These are generalities, of course. I am sure that
of course.
This is a very like small minutia. But yeah, that's how I explain that.
Do you find yourself being able to read the intent of the people doing the mansplaining? Like I imagine that there would be men who, like the woman situation you described, quote unquote, did their own research and do feel like they actually have something to bring to the table out of genuine concern for the well-being of their pets. And maybe that's a smaller minority than just the kind of the man wanting to show their intelligence. But can you tell the difference when that's happening?
It depends. So I think it's a very specific scenario. So let's say if I'm out of work and I'm like hanging out with my friends at a restaurant or like a bar and I'm like meeting people. 9 times out of 10, those people who are like trying to show off their intelligence just in that setting, I can tell. But I also like I'm not as invested. So for me, when someone mansplains to me, I don't tend to pop off. I'm just kind of like, oh, this is frustrating. So I don't really make a big deal of it. Now, if we're in the work setting and this misinformation is going to affect the patient, now I actually have something where I need to figure out the answer to that question. So that's a good question. So if someone is just like, you know, I don't believe in ticks and Lyme disease and I'm not going to do whatever, you know, I tend to challenge it. And I say, well, where did you read that? And why do you think this? And whatever. And 9 times out of 10, the people who are mansplaining because they feel like they know, they're like, oh, well, I just know that. Or that's just the way it is. And they won't hear my explanation. So those are people who like don't care. However, when I kind of call out and challenge the situation in a polite way, they're like, oh, I did not know that. So I would say the people who are humbled and are truly not intentionally mansplaining is probably more in the minority, but they will respond to being challenged, if that makes sense. But they'll have something to back it up, or I don't know how to explain it, but usually how it comes off is they tell me this is what they want, this is what they know, this is how I should do my job. And when I'm like, okay, well, this is actually what I think or whatever, those people who are, I think, truly intentionally mansplaining, or maybe unintentionally, but are the people who do it very often. It's a personality thing, and I think they just don't care what the answers are. But people who are like, oh my gosh, I had no idea there are 5 different species of ticks and that, you know, it can still break through prevention. Oh my gosh, like, can you send me a link? You know, those people, I think they just heard something on the news or whatever and wanted to bring up their concern. But I would say those people are far and few between.
Okay, you said something interesting there, and this might be too nitpicky, but you said that there's a difference between the men who intentionally mansplain and those who unintentionally mansplain. How do you see intent playing into it?
So I do think that you can, and I do think it's a personality thing. So I think there's kind of 2 camps. I think there are people who have kind of a more narcissistic personality and do unintentionally mansplain, but they still have intent behind it. Like they're just doing it to show their intelligence and to put people down. Maybe they aren't aware of it because a lot of narcissists don't really like understand what they're doing. It's just a part of them. And then you have the unintentional mansplainers like, okay, this is really mean. But Ford, for example, I did a lot of like work with my dad around the house when I was younger. And, you know, but Ford, he's taking plumbing classes, electricity, like he knows a lot. And so maybe I'm doing something that's in his repertoire and he's excited to tell me about something he's learned, but I may already know it. So he might, you know, go through this whole spiel and I'm like, thank you. That's very sweet. But I already know how to do this. I did this with my dad all the time. And he's like, oh, so I do think there is a situation in many situations in which, and maybe you guys have accidentally done it, where you just are trying to help and end up accidentally mansplaining. But to me, the intent behind it is key to basically our reaction. Like there's many times when I've been mansplained to, it just doesn't matter because they don't mean it and it doesn't really make a difference. And even if they did mean it intentionally, I don't think it's worth the reaction. But, you know, I would point out that that does fall into the category because technically it's unsolicited advice, but he wasn't trying to do it to prove that he's a smart guy. He was just like, oh, I know this thing. I just learned it in class. I'm so excited. Or, you know, if I'm cooking and he's like, oh, try this, you know, technically that would be in the category of mansplaining, but the intent is not there. Does that make sense?
I almost feel like that needs a different name. Because being, that's just, you know, I've had conversations with Ford where he will enthusiastically tell me about what he's learned in his electricity class. And in fairness, I know nothing about electricity, so that is valid, but a decently smart guy, took high school physics. There would have been a chance that I would have known that. And I guess through this framework, though, we couldn't mansplain to other men. But that said, there just feels like something different to me about someone sharing knowledge because they are enthusiastic about it, without reference to how they perceive their intelligence relative to yours.
Yeah, and I do agree that, you know, maybe there is a separate category, but the reason why that would fall in there is the assumption that I don't know it. And I think that just puts in, yeah, she's a woman, she has no idea how to do electricity or whatever, versus the, hey, you're doing so-and-so. Can I help you? I know this stuff. So I think that, so employing those few things, for example, how not to mansplain. I think there's things you can set in place to prevent that from happening. First off, do they want my advice? Do they need or want my advice? You need to kind of ask, it sounds weird, like consent, but like, you know, is it right in this situation? Is this going to kind of come off as, you know, a power play or trying to show off or whatever? And I think even in the, you know, most naive ways or trying to help people, I think it can still come off as making someone feel small. So even if he's doing it in the nicest way, it makes me feel like, oh, did not think I knew how to do that. You know, like it can still cause that effect. And it's because it's a man to woman interaction, I think that it would be mansplaining. So it's a man to man. I just don't think there's that connotation, if that makes sense, because we were put in this box for so long. There's a lot of assumptions that are made when people do a mansplaining. Like, oh, she's a girl, she doesn't know how to do that. Like that, even if they don't mean it, sometimes it still hurts us subconsciously, I think. And that's why even, you know, unintentional mansplaining can be a bad thing. To some people, I don't know. I'm a really patient person. Nothing really bothers me. I could care less if someone did that to me, but I do think that it can affect people when it happens over and over again.
Do you think it matters what kind of knowledge is being shared? Because you focused on a lot of examples of almost skill-based things and things that a woman might not stereotypically know about, and feeling the weight of the gendered expectations for certain knowledge. What if it's really niche knowledge that not a lot of people would know about at baseline? So like if I go on a trip to Mongolia and come back and start telling you interesting things about Mongolia, I think there's a fair assumption that most people don't know a lot about Mongolia. Does it matter that that's a rarer knowledge?
I think it's a way in which you present it. Again, so the facets of mansplaining is unsolicited advice. So not, you know, just telling someone this advice because you think they should know it, like presenting in a way of, I went to Mongolia, this is so cool. And also the tone in which you do it, you know, like, hey, did you know whatever? Like I said, even a professional person can mansplain if they are condescending in their tone or kind of accidentally belittling or make someone feel stupid. So as long as you aren't hitting those factors, in my mind, again, I have never like truly looked up the definition. I just know from, you know, talking to girls over the years.
Formal definitions. We just made things up.
But in my opinion, if a man, you know, I don't know, I chat with a lot of people. So if I'm at an airport or I'm on a plane, I will talk to the person next to me. I just am that kind of person. So if that person was flying, got back from Mongolia, flying home, you know, and told me all about this cool stuff, and that was a man, I don't think I would consider it, as long as they were like, how did you not, like, if you've ever had an experience where someone was like, you didn't know this, you've never seen this movie or whatever, like those kinds of things interjected, I think could be that way. But for me, it's tone and making sure the person wants to engage with you and talk to you. I tend to start a lot of conversations. So mansplaining doesn't happen maybe as often because I'm like, really want to know what people say, but or at least not in the non-professional setting. I don't think, maybe it does, but I think it's, yeah, the way in which you say it and how it comes about, you know, like telling you how to do something. And especially the thing that really gets me is when, you know, like, you know the thing, so they're like, that, like, oh, you know, do you do this, I would do this, telling you that very much is the mansplaining. Or topic is important. Another thing is anything a woman may only uniquely know, like, this is random, but like giving birth or breastfeeding. Like if a man came and talked to me about like breastfeeding or a baby, in the way, it depends on the way in which they do it, or they tried to give me advice, I'd be like, look, I would probably not do that. Unless they presented it as, you know, let's say I'm talking about it, I say this because Ford has a lot of pregnant women at work, and I've talked to him about this. I was like, you got to be careful. And so I think, like, for example, if someone's like, I can't get this whatever machine to work, and he's like, actually, my wife uses this one, that is not mansplaining. But I don't think so. But if he was like, oh, well, you have to use this machine and blah, 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 blah. It's like, you're clearly not doing it. That's something you're not doing. You're giving advice on. I think that's the point that frustrates, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So it seems like, well, one, it seems like in the Mongolia example, if you are on an airplane next to someone coming back from Mongolia and you're talking to them about Mongolia, there's nothing weird about mansplaining Mongolia. Even if they say something dumb, like the Gobi Desert was huge, like you already knew that, but they're talking about it. And it's so in that case, it's kind of solicited. Yeah. And then when you're talking about, you've talked about the pregnant woman at Ford's work and him sharing something as
a done that, but an example. Yeah.
Ah, okay. Okay. But it's like, in that case, if it's like an alternative versus a recommendation, is that like the key, that it's like, here's another thought?
So I guess, you know, if we're doing that specific scenario, so I guess a third category of mansplaining is when a man tries to explain something that he could never physically do. You know, like a man can't give birth or breastfeed. Like he just can't do that. He may have a wife who has and has experienced that and wants to help that person. And I think you have to be very cautious in how you do that. So my example was, he has not done this, but there are 4 pregnant women at Ford's work. Some of them have had kids, they're breastfeeding, doing all those things. And he has heard lots of helpful advice from different people. So if he were to talk to somebody who is in that stage of life, I could see him making conversation about that. And so I would say, if this scenario happened, there's two ways, or there's kind of two ways you could come about it. One would be considered mansplaining, and one, I personally don't think I'd be offended by. So example one would be, you know, this is really weird. I'm just trying to think, like, what would you talk about? So let's say there's like a breastfeeding machine pump or something, okay, that someone uses, and they're having this conversation, the person's discussing, you know, this is frustrating, let's say there's women around too, and so they're discussing, the 2.0 machine is great or whatever. If Ford says, actually, you know, this machine is really great, you know, blah blah blah, and this is how you should do it and the timing, that would be very inappropriate and that would be mansplaining. But if he said, you know, actually, you know, hey, my wife uses this one and she really likes it. She says it does this, this, and this. Would you like me to have her text you? Or you might be interested. She's really enjoyed it. That is very different because he's realizing that he's not a woman. He can't present that perspective, but he's attaching it to someone who does, versus trying to tell someone how to do something that he could never do or experience. Like for me, I know this is really bad. This is a personal thing. I could never go to a male gynecologist. Sorry to get weird, but like they don't have it, they don't understand it, and I would feel like they were maybe accidentally mansplaining. They probably know everything about it, but they never physically experience, you know, periods or any of those symptoms. So I would have a really hard time with that. A lot of people go to male gynecologists and have no issue, but that is my perspective of it. When you're trying to tell a woman anything about something that you literally do not have and have never, ever, ever experienced. Does that make sense?
That does make sense at one level. At another level, it seems a little... So this analogy doesn't quite hold up, but it seems like you could have a baseball bat that's designed by a baseball player, or you could have a baseball bat that's designed by an engineer. And a baseball player might say to that person, well, you don't play fucking professional baseball. I don't want your baseball bat. That's not necessarily the most relevant knowledge in that case. Like the knowledge of the materials and the forces at work may be more relevant than the experiential feeling of the bat in your hand. However, if baseball players come back and say, you make terrible bats, an engineer would do well to adjust something. But analogous to the male gynecologist, like he can potentially access the relevant information that is not experiential. But he'd be wrong to ignore the experience of his patients.
Yeah, I guess it's just, I think a better analogy would be, you know, I am a white female. I will never be a, you know, Black female or a Latina female, I can never speak to or describe their experience fully because I am not that. I have never felt what it is to be in their shoes, and I can't physically change that about myself. So I think that would be maybe a better analogy, because I think it's not just like the baseball bat is very much like pulled away from social concepts. And I think there's an attachment there, even though it's under the realm of medicine. I think there is a lot of things that go into that, that you, to be maybe, if you are a woman in that profession, I think there's just a depth that a male could never achieve. And that is really important to me. And I think that men in that profession are wonderful, and I think they do a great job. In fact, they were all men at some point, and they probably did a great job. But I do think that you have to be cautious with that, because if they're like, oh, are you experiencing this? They have probably never, ever felt it. They have no idea what happened. They have no idea the kind of social attachment to whatever disease or thing. And so I think that to me is a very specific, I think it's hard to make another analogy with that. But I think that in that specific profession, I think you have to be very careful about, like, that's just the one that comes to mind, you know, or a female urologist. I mean, like, it's just tough. You can understand the medicine behind it, but until you kind of have that. But I mean, as me as a vet, I can never experience what animals go through. So I know it's kind of similar. But at the same time, I think it's just that dynamic, that sexist dynamic. It's not necessarily mansplaining for me to talk for animals who can't speak for themselves. But I think you have, because I just thought about that. I was like, well, I do treat animals that I can't, I'm not a dog or cat. Right. And I think I do a pretty good job. So I guess I would give them that benefit, or that, you know,
well,
benefit of the doubt.
In that example, it's because there's no other options. Like, cats could perform medicine on other cats. It probably would be better if...
Yeah, okay. Because
the example that came to mind, and I think this might end up falling in the same bucket, is if I got diagnosed with terminal brain surgery and I found out that my surgeon had never had terminal brain surgery, I wouldn't think that was weird. I wouldn't be like, you can't know what I'm going through, therefore you can't operate on me. But I guess that's because, by definition, there aren't a lot of brain surgeons who have had terminal brain surgery.
Yeah, I guess the reason why this one is so unique is not that I think that they're not great doctors. Like, I've met they are probably some of the smartest people I've ever met, but they have to be constantly careful about what they say and how they say it. So I guess what I'm saying is, if a neurosurgeon has never had a brain tumor, it's not mansplaining to talk to you about it. But if you have a male doctor who doesn't have that anatomy and is trying to explain cramps to you, or, you know, all this stuff, they just have to be very careful in how they do it. So I guess that's what I'm saying. Not that they shouldn't do it or that it's wrong, but I think that, to me, in thinking of all the societal examples, is one where that man is put into a position where he could be more prone to doing that. However, I will say that all of the med students or doctors I've ever talked to who like that specialty are some of the most in tune with women and empathy. So I don't think they have that issue, but that is like, you are right there, you know, right there where if you are condescending or the way in which you do it, like, you could kind of do that a lot. Does that make sense? So I think it's that it's just a very unique scenario.
No, that does make sense. And it is a very provocative example to think through. I want to go to a point earlier in the conversation where we're talking about what kinds of knowledge could be mansplainable. So in the definition that we're currently working with, it's unsolicited advice.
And condescending tone, I think.
And arts.
Yeah.
Two components
that we're working with. Advice becomes a really interesting word there, because if I'm just sharing general knowledge that is not meant to alter your behavior in any way, so I just start sharing generic fun facts about Mongolia, you're not going to take that knowledge and alter your life. I'm not assuming that you don't have a particular set of skills. Is that still mansplaining?
I don't believe so, because I don't think there's that intention that you're trying to change me or tell me to. I think it's like, educating can be dangerous because you can do that in a mansplaining way. But like, you're just having a conversation. You're just talking to somebody about something versus being like, you know, you need to do this or X, Y, Z, or implying that my knowledge is inadequate. You're just talking.
Sharing a random Mongolia fact, I am kind of assuming that you don't already have that Mongolia knowledge.
Right. That's a good point. And it's hard, again, because I think sometimes it also depends on personality type. So both like the receiver and the teller. So for me, if I'm sitting on a plane and I'm like, what's up? How's life been? And you're talking about Mongolia and you share this stuff with me, I have the personality type where I'm like, that's super cool. Tell me more. And I will engage and actually, in fact, encourage more. So I have kind of given consent that like, please tell me, I would love to know. I think that eliminates mansplaining personally. But if I'm sitting on a plane, I've got like my earbuds in and the guy's like, hey, have you heard about Mongolia? Let me tell you about Mongolia. Let me just tell you all about it. That I think could be considered mansplaining. Like, I just need to get this information out and show how smart I am and blah, 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 you know. Don't you think, I feel like that might fall under our, I know we only have like two little points, but me as a woman, if I'm sitting there and a man is like, just like wants to tell me all this information, I think that might be considered mansplaining or at least approaching the area of it. I don't know.
Well, I think we would just then alter our definition to be unsolicited knowledge given in a condescending way.
Mm-hmm. And I think you don't
reasonable.
I think that's reasonable. But I do think you can have the accidental kind, but I don't know if that's like, to me, that's not important. But I know, you know, more social progressives might say that like you should never ever do it and like always avoid it, you know, even accidentally. Like if my dad is telling me something or a person's telling me something that I already know, well, they don't know I already know. So I don't fault people for that or say like, you're mansplaining. But I don't know. That's the problem I have with it is a lot of women consider even those like small bits. Like if, you know, Ford's telling me about something and I just happen to already know it, they might consider that mansplaining. But to me, even if it falls in that category, I don't get the annoyance factor. But I'd be curious to ask other women what they think. If they think you should just never, ever mansplain and always, you know, put in, you know, several facets before engaging to making sure you're not. And I don't know. I don't think it affects me as much unless it's, for example, the thing that really affects me are my clients who are coming in and really pushing against me and telling me how to do something. Because it really, or they call me like sweetie or honey, or like they're putting me immediately down because I'm younger than most of these people. And it's really hard to try to make yourself like I'm actually the one who's the knowledgeable in the room. And so each time it kind of puts me down a peg. So it is doing something and causing harm. And I think maybe that's another piece of mansplaining. I don't know. Because I think in a lot of scenarios that I've heard women talk about or my friends talk about, I don't think they were hurt in that situation. They were frustrated. But to me, I think the danger of mansplaining is it can really affect someone. It can like really hurt them. You never know what fight someone's fighting underneath. And I think it can actually cause harm. If that makes sense, I don't know.
Yeah, like you said that it is a little unfair to say that one should never mansplain, even accidentally, because I think that there are times when there's a reasonable presumption that someone doesn't know something. Like, for example, if I guess this, again, wouldn't fall technically under mansplaining, but still could be unsolicited knowledge. If Ben and I are talking with an English person and he's like, oh, I'm not a big fan of Keir Starmer. I've been a Tory my whole life. And then he leans over to Ben and he's like, Tory's the opposition party right now. Like, that's not, I wouldn't consider that mansplaining because there's a reasonable assumption that Ben and I had no idea that Tories are, being Americans, we don't know that's the opposition party. And like, he's explaining something that we may or may not know, but is necessary to understand like whatever the next thing comes along is. So there's a reasonable assumption. And it's not done in a condescending way, then I think it's fair to. And I guess in that case, it also has to be somewhat necessary or at least relevant that whatever, like if he's if it's going to be relevant that the Tories are the opposition party right now, and that's why he shares that knowledge, that's different than we're talking about something completely different. And then he's like, oh, the Tories are the opposition party, by the way. I'm like, okay, I don't know. So it has to be not condescending and necessary for the conversation or the point you're making. Oh, there's something else, but I lost it. Whatever. It has to be at least those two things, not condescending and necessary.
Yeah, not. I think it's really positional. It depends on the specific circumstances. Like, let's say, because I deal with this every day. Like, I pretty much have this mansplaining occur to me almost every day. A lot of times intentional. The things that I think that help and put in place this person to kind of not mansplain, for example, I'll have someone be like, well, you know, blah, blah, blah about Lyme disease. And they're like, but I'm not a doctor. So, or like, what do you think? Like, that completely eliminates it because they're basically just saying, this is what I think. And they kind of put that out there to say, but I want you to know that I respect you. And like, I want your opinion too. So typically that immediately is disarming. And not that I think that most people are trying to, like, it really doesn't affect me every day because most of it's unintentional, but that is a big thing. So depends on the scenario. So like, if you're talking to someone who is experienced in the subject, I think you can talk about your opinion, but I think, you know, putting some kind of disarming qualifier, like, but I'm not a doctor, what do you think? Or, but I'd like to know what you think, you know, I think really eliminates it. Or if you're talking to someone who may or may not know the subject matter and you're presenting knowledge, you could say, well, did you know that blah, 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 or what do you think about this? I think the way in which you talk to them, both tone and then how you present it. So it's not like just being like, blah, 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 blah. It's like, hey, this is what I think. What do you think? Or have you ever heard about this kind of thing? Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. So one of the things I was thinking about is, given our working definition, which is currently unsolicited knowledge given in a condescending way, the consequence of that is, so long as you find uncondescending ways to communicate, you are pretty much never at risk of mansplaining.
And I think showing like signs of respect, like I think a lot of it too is that it can be considered disrespectful. I guess it depends on your situation. Like if you're talking like, you know, I've gone to vet school for 4 years. So I am the person in the room who knows about the specific subject matter. I think them acknowledging that, hey, this is what I think, but you're the doctor, or blah, 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 blah. I'm like, immediately that takes it all away. Or if you're just in a room of people and you don't know what they're talking about, I think, yeah, just the way in which you present yourself, like, hey, you know, I'm in computer science and like, this is what I think about the subject. Or, oh, I went to Mongolia last year and learned this. Like, what do you guys think? Yeah, it's all about how you present it. And when you are speaking, recognizing like, am I doing something that's, trying to put this person down or feel smaller or show off myself, or am I just having a conversation with like fun facts or interesting things or trying to help somebody out? Does that make sense? Like reading the room, I think reading the specific situation. But I think if you always consider respect and your tone, I think you probably won't mansplain. And I guess the hard part is there's so many different situations. Like if you were on a plane, I think just being respectful, you know, like if someone engages with you, I think that's not mansplaining, that's someone being interested. But I wouldn't just like, hey, by the way, you know, if you're doing it to show off yourself, I think that can also be like why you do it and your intent can also be a reasoning, if that makes sense.
So you've talked about the intent of mansplainers a couple times. You just mentioned to show off, to put down, and to make others feel smaller. Do we think these are all the motivations, or what are the primary motivations for mansplaining?
I think some of it's ignorance. Some of it, like, I think there are non-negative, I think there are neutral intents. So I think there is, you know, trying to help. I think there is ignorance of the situation or reading the body language or not knowing the person. You know, so I think there's a lot of ways where you can do it and it's just absolutely not out of malice or for any negative reason, but you are in fact mansplaining. And I think typically in those situations, usually the response of the woman will kind of tell you either way, or I don't know, I'm trying to think, like the situation where technically it falls under the category where, you know, for it, or someone's telling me something where I already know it. And like, so typically I'll say, ah, thank you for the advice. I already know that. I don't think that's a bad situation, but that is technically under that. But, you know, if he was like, well, actually I could do this better, like, bah, there we go. There's the negative intent. And I think you can, as a woman, read that and that changes your response. So I think that mansplaining can occur and not be a negative thing. It just falls under that category. But I also think it can be harmful in the situations where there's malice or you're trying to be like bigger, like puff your chest or try to be better than somebody, you know. But if you're trying to help someone genuinely, I mean, you're trying to help somebody. It just happens to be that specific dynamic. If you're saying it the wrong way or doing it at the wrong time or to the wrong person, who knows what they're talking about? So I think just being like in tune to who you're talking to, what the situation is, and if it happened, it happened. It's not like a crime. I think it is a lot worse when there's a lot of clear signs that, you know, someone's mansplaining. Like, for example, I think if you come into a veterinary office and you're trying to tell the veterinarian how to do something, I think to me, there's a lot of like big glaring signs and reasons to not do that or to hold back or, oh, this is very clear that I'm doing this and I'm doing it anyway. That's when I think it's negative. Does that make sense? So I think there can be positive, neutral, and negative intents. I think the intent doesn't change if it's mansplaining, but the intent, I think it can, but the intent changes the effect on the person.
I have a little trouble with that because we've got condescending in our definition currently of mansplaining. I don't know how you can be condescending without having that intent. I think that implies, it may not imply the intent. I feel like that implies.
So I guess I have to look up the definition of condescending because I think you can be talking to someone and I think it's how they perceive it. So they can feel smaller even if you're not trying to make them feel smaller. Does that make sense? So I think it's the effect, but not always what you're wanting it to be.
Okay, yeah, because if what matters is the perception of condescension,
yes,
and it would have that without intending to. Yeah, okay.
Does that not put us in the somewhat troubling position of whether or not something is mansplaining is randomly determined by the nature of the person being communicated to?
Maybe a little bit. So that's where I think it'd be interesting to have other females. Because for me, if you ask just me, like when I feel mansplained to, it is only in those specific scenarios where it is negative. It kind of affects me. But I'm sure maybe it happens technically, if you're going by the definition, other times. Does not affect me. Does not bother me. I don't really care. I wouldn't express to somebody that they're doing that. And so it doesn't matter. But so in some ways, at least in my personal perspective, I do think that it might affect people differently. So if you have someone who is, you know, and I'm not saying this in a negative or positive or whatever, just neutral, someone who is very, you know, socially progressive and very much like into all these things, they may at any instance of those situations, positive or negative intent, take that moment to say like, I need to educate you that you're mansplaining mm-hmm. right now. And I need to tell you you're doing this wrong. And so where someone, and I would consider myself a progressive, but I just don't, it just seems unhelpful to me, like, especially if I don't know them and it's not bothering me, you know. To me, someone could tell me something or talk to me and I just don't take it negatively. I'm a really hard person to piss off. But so then that situation, it's not affecting me. It's not affecting my life. So I personally would not consider that person mansplaining me, even though by definition, they technically are. And somebody else with a different personality might lash out or say, hey, you're mansplaining right now. So I think that's a difficulty of the situation.
Yeah.
Is the importance of mansplaining. And the whole reason I think it should be brought up and talked about is for those very negative situations where those people with an unchecked ego or narcissistic personalities or those white males with a power dynamic are using it to make people feel small, intentionally or not. I think that is really important. Where I think it's unimportant is really trying to, at least as a female, be nitty gritty about, listen, you're mansplaining to me. Please don't come up and talk to me about anything I already know. Even if you don't know, I know it. That's unhelpful. but it technically falls under that category. So to me, the importance of it is kind of the more extreme scenarios. I'd be curious what, you know, Annalise or Katie would think on this, but that is why it's important to me, is the trying to allow women to be in those power dynamics too. You know, like, well, maybe we're equals and you don't have to explain something to me like that, or I already know this knowledge. Look and respect me as somebody who knows this. It's not about who knows more, but, you know, like, it would be really great if, in most of the time, I walk into my rooms and I have the uttermost respect from people and they trust everything I say. But, you know, how hurtful it can be to me as a new vet to have people kind of make me feel small. So I think that's where it can be dangerous. Does that make sense? And as far as the importance of it, I think it's the extreme versions. And I know we're trying to explain it and when it happens, but as far as, like, you guys as men trying to not mansplain, I think it's more important just be kind and cautious and respectful to people. And whether there's a minor accidental whatever, I don't know if that matters, as long as you respect the person you're talking to. So yeah, does that kind of explain all of it?
Yeah, that kind of segues into one of my next questions, which this is just always one of my favorite things to do with a philosophical question, is just to flip it entirely on its head and ask, is there ever an appropriate time to mansplain? And you kind of covered, I think you kind of covered the, so the example I thought of is, like, if someone came to your hometown for the first time, and in this case, you know, it's me being the man and a woman is coming to Rona for the first time, and for whatever reason we're chatting and I sort of just unsolicitedly say, oh, you might want to avoid these neighborhoods because they're not particularly safe. And that's kind of unsolicited. It's, again, if this woman has the right temperament, it could be interpreted as a condescending. But in that case, the benefits of the potential infraction, in this case, her safety, outweigh me doing a small mansplaining incident.
Yeah. So to me, I would interpret it, if you said that to me as, like, the new person, I would be like, I'm new. I know nothing about Roanoke. Maybe you are. But in that moment, I would say, oh, he's trying to be helpful and, you know, impart to me some helpful advice. So I would consider that helpful. There may be some people who would be like, why don't you think I could find that out for myself? I think there are certain personality types where that would be negative. But I think, to me, I think the danger of being too careful and trying not to mansplain ever is, how are you going to help people? You know, how are you going to give them good advice? I think a situation which I don't think this would fall in the topic of mansplaining, but maybe, is, you know, what if, for example, you know, we're in philosophy club and I ask you guys a question, you know, body image in women is very, you know, difficult and whatever. What is it like for men? I have no idea. I'm asking you to explain that to me. So I don't think that'd be mansplaining. Or if you told me that, I think that's where you have a unique perspective. And so I don't think that's harmful.
Well, it's also, in that particular case, it's directly solicited knowledge.
Okay. I guess then it would be if it was unsolicited and you're just like, yeah, you know, the body.
Yeah, let me tell you about male body. Yeah, that would be kind of weird.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it could be, like, for just sitting and, you know, women are talking about whatever and then you, like, impart that. Maybe that would be negative. But so it gets so, like, you know, in the weeds and difficult. But I think, to me, the importance of it is, as long as you're just trying to help and genuinely respecting the person you're talking to, I don't think it becomes a dangerous thing, even if it falls into that category. And I think people who take all of those instances, even the helpful one, and try to, you know, say, you shouldn't do this, it's just unhelpful. And I think can be hurtful and make that person not want to talk to other people. So I don't know. I would just say, in the more extreme ones, really try not to do that, because I think that's when it's hurtful. But the minor ones, I think just be aware and, you know, just try to help. And if someone calls you out, just be like, okay, can't.
I'm okay. Sorry. Admittedly, this is going to be kind of a strange example, and I don't know where it falls within our spectrum, but it occurred to me as you were saying that. So one of the examples that you gave very early on was your difficulties around a male gynecologist and the fact that they couldn't there's certain experiences that a woman has they, by definition, cannot have. If I just came to you one day and started describing the experience of having a male genitalia, which is knowledge that you could not possibly have, is that still mansplaining?
It's
certainly unsolicited. Let's start with that. It would be utterly inappropriate for me to do that. But hypothetically, does that still fall under the definition of mansplaining?
I think this would be like a, where people would have two camps of thought. You know, I think this would split. I think me, I would consider that, well, that is a male perspective that I can't have and something I would never be able to understand.
Well, I thought the first thought you'd have was, why the fuck is he telling me this?
Yeah.
But after we got past that part, yeah, continue.
Yeah, so I would be like, well, I don't know this. You know, this is not something I know. But I think the other camp would say it is a male talking down to a female, you know, you don't have this or whatever. I think it's the way in which you do it is where it would kind of change. Because if you were just like, man, it stinks having to, you know, have this because of what an X, Y, and Z situation, and this is really frustrating. As a person, me, my personality would be like, oh my gosh, I'm really sorry you have to deal with that. I'd be really interested and have that conversation. That's who I, Sarah Farthing, am. But in the other camp, I think the person would, another person would say, I didn't ask for this. You're just explaining to me this is weird. And you're a man talking to a woman about, you know, trying to impart knowledge on me that I don't want. And so that would be mansplaining. And I think under the category of it being a unique experience for me, maybe it is because it's unsolicited advice, but I don't think it would affect me as much because I don't have that. I literally don't know. But I think the other person would say, like, why are you telling me this? I didn't want to know this. I think it just is personality in that situation, which is, I know, unfair and unhelpful and doesn't really follow our things, but
it's kind of a strange edge case because so much of the knowledge that we've talked about is knowledge that a woman could very well have. And in unsolicitedly sharing it with you, I am kind of displaying a level of condescension of assuming that I'm superior to you because I have this knowledge that you might also have. Mm-hmm. But knowledge that you couldn't possibly have is, to me, a weird little edge case.
Yeah, and I think in that scenario, the thing that would make the biggest difference is, do I know you or not? If I'm sitting at a bar with my friends and you come up and just start telling me that, oh my gosh, yeah, that's definitely mansplaining. That's kind of scary. But if it's you, my friend, I'd be like, okay.
See, I almost think that needs a different term. Like, A, I think that might actually be legitimately sexual assault. But
okay,
I don't know if it's... Logan, save me. What do you think, buddy?
I don't know. I'm just giving you the female perspective of it would very much depend for me if I knew you or not. Because if I didn't know you and you just kind of impart knowledge on me, I just would feel very strange.
But is it the same? And again, this example is weird because it's so heinously inappropriate to do something like that. But is it still mansplaining?
I think so.
I don't know. That's weird.
If it's unsolicited.
So this reminds me of, I just watched the movie The Holdovers. I don't know if any of y'all have seen that, but...
Yeah, it looks really good. I'm sorry, I haven't seen it.
Paul Giamatti from last year?
I don't know. Is that probably... It is last year. Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Oh, that was a great movie. Yeah, yeah, okay.
But there's one character who kind of epitomizes this sharing of knowledge. It's like an old professor type. And he'll randomly throughout the movie with complete strangers throw out like some Latin or Greek quote and then translate it for them. And it's somewhat analogous to this because you have very good reason to believe that an ordinary person in, it seems like they're in somewhere in the Northeast, I don't know, Northeast United States, doesn't speak any Latin or Greek. So if you're a betting person, this person is not giving knowledge that the other person doesn't already have. However, it always comes across as like super fucking pompous and condescending, mostly because it's just so unnecessary. And I think this goes to what Sarah is talking about or mentioned before about intent is like, it's even this guy wasn't trying to make himself seem smarter
that's definitely the way it came off. And I think that is what the character is going for. He's just like constantly trying to impress other people because he's ultimately insecure. Big spoiler. It's not really a spoiler at all. It's obvious from the first fucking scene. Anyway, so it's like that would very easily create that that perception. I don't know. Even though he's got a very good reason to believe they don't have that knowledge.
Yeah, I think even if that person doesn't have that knowledge, I think it would still fall under mansplaining. I just think it's a more like extreme abrupt issue when you realize the person knows that and still tell them that. I think to me, that's like the worst case scenario when you're like, I see that you are a professional in this and I'm still going to tell you you're wrong. I think that is like what most women are talking about when they bring this term up. Like, so we're really getting nitty gritty, but in my opinion, on like a global scale, that is the big thing they're talking about. But
okay, so here's another fringe case for you. Let's say that a single father who's, and the mother tragically died, so there's no communicating with her, or maybe she got sent like 100,000 years in the future, but she's not around. The single father has a daughter who is experiencing her period for the first time. This man is going to have to do some mansplaining, it seems like. But I would say that it might not be he's obviously going to have to talk to his daughter about something that he cannot experience. I don't think it's mansplaining necessarily.
No, because like I said, with like the male gynecologist, I think they can do a phenomenal job because they've got all the information, right? I think it's the way in which you do it. And so let's say, okay, I don't want to actually go into specific things, but they're trying to explain, okay, doing their hair, for example. A man doesn't know how to braid the hair, right? And he's trying to teach his daughter how to braid. I think saying, you know, all right, Susie, you want to learn how to braid hair? All right, watch these videos. Like, let's learn how to do it and doing it together or showing her. I don't think there's anything wrong with explaining her. Oh, my batteries went low. I don't think there's anything wrong with explaining and showing her how to do that, even though he has no idea. But I just think not being a jerk about it. So I think, you know, I'd be curious to see, because technically it could fall within our definition. But in my opinion, if you have that respect and you have that way in which you're doing it kind of together as a team and acknowledging that you're not a female, I think would completely negate that. I also think this is a situation where you have to, whether it falls into it or not, you have to. You've got no other choice. I don't think that. So some people might say, oh, we'll just go get a woman perspective. I don't think you need to do that. I think you're the parent. I think that person's most comfortable with you. And I think showing them how to do that, even if you know nothing about it, trying to learn is fine. But as far as if it falls under, it would, to me, depend on the way in which you do it, right? So you don't just walk up to your daughter randomly and say, we're gonna learn about periods, you know? You say, you know, hey, you know, I know your mom's not here, you're, you know, 12, would you like to talk about whatever? And then like going through it. So I think respect the way in which you impart that advice and your tone of doing it would eliminate it, right? I think as far as our definitions, that would make it not mansplaining. Right?
Yeah, I think so. So this is kind of not exactly on topic, but we've kind of talked around this a number of times or throughout this conversation. Is this brought back memories from a long time ago of an article I had to read in college called, it was by Bell Hooks, and it was called something like Essentialism and Experience, or maybe Experience and Essentialism. Mm-hmm. And the idea was that for a given group of people, I think she was specifically talking about Black women, there's an idea that all of them have
a set of shared experiences and ideas. And that's something like essentialism, I think, is close to the definition that like a given group of people, like we've been talking about women as having like an essential knowledge of things that is not accessible by people outside of the group. So that's kind of what I've been thinking about through this whole conversation. And I remember something like bell hooks in this article kind of pushed back against that idea. She agreed that there were some things that like certain groups, you know, she kind of agreed that certain groups have certain kinds of knowledge that other groups can't have. But she said that that does not invalidate the experiences of people outside of those groups. So even though, and this is probably going to take it too far, she's talking about like in a, I think she wrote the article about a classroom setting. And so it's like a question of like when something comes up in the classroom, someone might speak from a woman's perspective about women's ideas. But it's not, I think it wasn't necessarily invalid that someone else, a male, were to speak about their experiences with women who have ideas. And so through that have also a means to contribute to the conversation. And I don't know if I did a great job of explaining that, but that seems like this issue of essentialism is kind of at the heart of mansplaining. Is like some people have access to knowledge others cannot have. And the degree to which we need to respect that. I don't know. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. And that's where I think this term of mansplaining can be, can cause some negativity in our society. So like, I think in the situation of when you're putting people down and, you know, are blindly not talking about what you want, like, I think that's bad. But I think what's also bad, and I've had happen in my college classes, you were reading a book about women's rights. There's a man in the class who also explains his ideals. Some people might be like, you don't have a right to talk about that. You're not a woman. But I think that perspective is so important. How are we ever going to have men in this society or, you know, people outside of whatever experiential thing, you know, if they can't learn and talk about it? Like to say that I can't talk about, you know, the male perspective, like I don't have the male perspective, but I want to understand it and talk about what I think it is. That's really important. Otherwise, you're just telling people that you should only stay in this cult and you should only talk about what you know with the people in your group who experience it. Nobody else has a right to say anything about it. And that is very unfair. And I think, you know, the freedom of speech is kind of being infringed there a little bit. But regardless, I mean, I know there's like, say what you want to say. Again, I think all of this comes down to respect and acknowledgement that, you know, so if someone stands up and they're like, you know, this is what I think about, you know, women's rights or the struggle that this woman character had in this book, absolutely, that's important. And I, even if he like gets it wrong or doesn't understand it, doesn't that just show you that, oh, well, he doesn't understand, so let's talk to him about it? Or is it something that doesn't matter that he doesn't understand? You know what I mean? Like something minor. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where when you get very extreme, you actually are making it less, people don't want to understand you and don't want to try to become a part of these issues because you're just kind of like, you can't talk about it, you're a man, you know? So I think that I agree with you that it's very dangerous to get too much into that, but there are extreme versions in which you have to be careful. So an extreme version would be, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of an experience that isn't going to be kind of weird to say, but me trying to tell, or a man trying to tell a woman how to give birth or breastfeed or something, you just got to be careful in how you do that. And you have to be cautious about that. But I don't think there's anything wrong with having an open dialogue about that between a man and a woman at all. I think there's nothing wrong with that. Or I don't know. I'm trying to think of things. Like I've never been, you know, a black female. So it'd be unfair of me to go in and say like, this is how you should feel about these situations. Or this is what you should do, whatever. But there's nothing wrong with saying, wow, this is a difficult situation you're going through. You know, here's my experiences with whatever. Let's have an open dialogue. Does that make, Am I making any sense? I don't know if I'm just kind of going in circles.
No, that makes sense. That, yeah, your key thing is respect. So if it's disrespectful, that's when it's really bad mansplaining versus potentially incidental mansplaining. Here's, Ben asked this before, is there ever an acceptable time to mansplain? In issues of safety, yeah, it can be acceptable to mansplain. Like, this wouldn't be mansplaining per se, but it could be condescending, unsolicited knowledge of, like, when, I don't know if this ever happened, but I can imagine that it might have happened a long time ago when, like, Annalise and I were first rock climbing. She was more experienced, and so it could happen that she was, like, on the wall and be like, put both your fucking hands on the brake rope or whatnot, and it was, like, something like that. I was like, oh, that could be condescending, unsolicited knowledge, but potentially, you know, safety and acceptable. However, the funny part is, I don't know, again, I think I almost have a memory of this, but I'm not sure. I feel like I would be mad as the belayers, like, or indignant anyway, even though it is acceptable. Yeah, I would still be mad about it, which...
Yeah, it's like the tone, right? You know, respect. Yeah, like, I think, let's say there's, like, a bomber, or there was... I'm in a building, right? And they have to close down the building, and there's a bomber, and they need to get me to... safety. This is my personal opinion. I will not speak for women because I don't know what they would say. What I would say is, I honestly don't care how you tell, like, you are trying to save my life. So you can mansplain all you want to me if you even are. At that point, I just need someone to help get me to safety. I just don't think, even if it is, that that's the time to even be concerned about it, because you're trying to save someone's life. I don't know. People might feel differently, but you know, if you're in the military, if you're whatever, sometimes you have to yell and you have to be intense, and you can't really consider people's feelings. And I know, like, it may not be respect. It may just be how you have to do it. Like, I'm sure that there are many women in military, and, you know, you have to say march, you have to say harsh things. I don't know if it necessarily takes that rope, because they do that with everybody. They're not necessarily singling them out, but they have to do it in that way. You have a coach yells at the team, try to get things done. I don't consider that mansplaining, because I just think it's a situational thing, and it's kind of orders, but you're not doing it because it's a woman. It's just how the nature of that particular job works.
Yeah. I guess in all those cases, you're in a scenario where the unsolicited knowledge part kind of gets thrown out the window because the situation itself demands it.
But, I mean, because you've been through a lot of stuff with your job. I mean, they pretty much have to yell at you. And I know the really intense, like, and I'm sure that there are women in that field. But in that scenario, I think the, you know, specifications of that situation and job, I just don't think you can count it as that, because it necessitates them to be that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I don't think that would count as mansplaining.
But I guess if you took it out of the situation, it would, because I'm sure there's quite a bit of yelling and, like, negative things said, but you have to in that situation. Right.
Yeah. Or like you said, with a coach, like, it's expected to yell. They don't have to necessarily, but it's kind of expected, and it's not weird if they do. They could be too belittling, and it could have a negative impact on the team, but I don't even think you would call that mansplaining, because even then you'd be like, man, that coach could be fucking belittling and mean, but because you're on the team, you've signed up for a lot of unsolicited knowledge, so you can't complain about it.
Yeah, I guess the scenario of it does change things a little bit. So again, even if things fall under the category, the significance of it, I think, depends on the situation and the way in which you did it, right? I think that's what we're getting at.
All right, what about this example? So let's say right now, on this call, Logan decides he wants to go on a diatribe about the life and lessons of Adam Smith. And neither of us ask for it, and he does so in a very obviously condescending way. Are we in a situation where you are being mansplained to, but I am not?
That's a really good question. So following the cultural context, well, it's kind of like the difficulty I have with this is he's talking to two people. So he is doing this to two people of different sexes in the same way. And so in some ways I'd be like, I think that's just condescending, you know, in general, versus directing it to me just as the woman in the room. But I think from the female perspective, I might feel a stronger negative feeling than you do, because here is a male that, you know, I've been fighting my whole life to, not really, but like, I'm just trying to talk about the general generalizations, you know, you're working your whole life to try to be their equals, and now you feel like you're not. So I could see how that could be mansplained to me and not to you, because we have an added sexist kind of connotation there.
Yeah, background to it.
You see what I mean? It's the dynamic. However, me as me, if I was in a crowd or if I was with you, I'd be like, well, I think he's just being condescending to both of us. I don't think he's doing it to me because I'm a woman. But I understand that women say it doesn't matter if it's to just you or whatnot. You have that added cultural connotation. So again, there might be two camps there.
All right. So I'm going to set aside the fact that you showed up to Philosophy Club, Ben, and so you signed up for unsolicited diatribes about fucking Adam Smith.
You knew what I was getting into, yeah.
But that aside, what if in the same situation, Ben has been over-explained to throughout his whole life because of his demeanor, his or whatever, some feature about Ben makes people just want to over-explain.
The sexy face, yeah. People think he doesn't know anything.
And so he has a similar feeling of, feeling possibly similar to as a woman might have who has been over-explained to throughout their whole life. Is that then mansplaining, or does it not count? Is that sort of beside the point?
But I think it stinks very bad, and that is its own term, and I think that's wrong. But again, I would go back to mansplaining has to be a male to female because of the added cultural context, and you cannot recreate that with a man. Even if he's kind of been put down his whole life and felt small, I think it's pretty much adjacent and almost an exact parallel. But this unique, the way in which we're using mansplaining, the reason it's the way it is it's because men have been higher in society their whole life. And, you know, we're trying to work to be equals, in which that even a male that's put down and feels unequal will not understand because their sex is still not considered lesser.
That's a very essentialist take right there. That's interesting.
So I don't know if I feel this way, but I would say that from understanding, listening to the, you know, what's out there, that's what people would say. I would say, I think that just sucks equally as bad, and I think that's wrong. And that's definitely very similar. But the way in which mansplaining is defined is that specific dynamic because of all those things. I would not consider myself an essentialist, but I do think knowing and understanding anyone's point of view is very important. Empathy is very important to me.
It does seem weird then that the same action on the same phone call, so it's not even like talking to either person, it's just talking to a phone that's being relayed to two different people, would be a different action depending on who's holding the phone. But I guess that makes sense, that mansplaining, because we've talked about that throughout, that mansplaining is in a large part a matter of perception.
Yes, and I think, you know, the same thing would happen. So let's say we're talking, two males are talking. Let's say, you know, you've got two white males. One is, you know, essentially mansplaining, but men to men to each other. Now switch out the other person and now it's a black male. So the condescending white male is talking to the black male. That is a whole different thing. So because of all of the societal difficulties that person has had to deal with and the generations before them and all that social concept and attachment makes that scenario, even if you say the same thing to me, to a white male, to a black male, there are different levels there. I would say the lesser of the evils is white male to white male. It still really stinks, but you don't have that other connotation of this part of society has been put down. We don't have terms for all of those. The only term we have right now is mansplaining. But I think mansplaining is in all of those scenarios, but it's called mansplaining because it's between man and female. I think you could call it race-splaining if you're talking to whatever, or blah, blah, blah-splaining. You know, I think anytime you're talking to another group that's been in those difficult situations or their predecessors have been, you have to be a little, there's a little bit more that goes with it. It still sucks, but there's some added difficulty there.
So is the takeaway lesson here that it's probably just a broadly good thing to do to actively attempt to display intellectual humility and avoid condescension?
Yep.
Because doing that kind of solves all of these downstream identity problems.
Yeah.
As long as your intent is not to show intellectual superiority, and again, you demonstrate due intellectual humility, you should just be safe in most all cases.
I think if you go through life with just being kind of respectful, I don't think you have to be extremely overly cautious and scared of what you say. I mean, I know the social climate is very much like, oh, I'm afraid to say this, but just be respectful. And I really don't think you're going to get into a negative situation, you know?
This is partly a joke, but partly serious. if it's too hard to be genuinely empathetic, you did say earlier that I can just say, but I want to hear your side or your thoughts on the subject at the end of any otherwise completely condescending and mansplaining thing and get away with it.
No, that feels like malicious compliance if I've ever heard it.
Yeah, I think it's the, again, it's intent and if it's genuine, because the people that do that to me, like, are genuinely like, you know, blah, 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 but I'm sorry, I'm not a doctor. Like, they kind of like apologetically like fall over themselves. And it's not that I make a face or anything. I think they're just like, oh my gosh, I just kind of went off and, you know, she's the person. Even if they're right. I mean, that's another thing about mansplaining. You could be totally right, but it's the way in which you do it. So I think the way to solve it is just to be respectful. And I would say, again, with like, if you're a professor or a coach or whatever, you know, I think those are implied because people are asking for kind of those experiences and realizing, you know, I'm putting myself like, I don't know as much. But again, in any of those scenarios, if you're just respectful, I don't think it really matters. And if you accidentally do it, in my personal opinion, I'm not going to like get upset about some random guy who comes up and randomly says something to me. Like, it doesn't matter unless it causes harm, makes me feel bad, or makes me feel scared or whatever. But if you're respectful, I think all of that is avoided. And I'd be curious what other female perspectives are, because this is just mine. But I tried to kind of speak from what I've understood about the generalities as well.
But only curious about the female perspectives. Very essentialist.
Well, I am curious about the male perspective, but I think the importance for understanding the situation is very specific, because you guys, in theory, can never be mansplained to.
Yeah, I guess so.
It seems like essentialism might just be its own topic that we should address separately.
Mm-hmm. I feel pretty satisfied on it. What about you?
I think that was great.
It went great. Happy to help.
Yeah, for the sake of this conversation, I'm grateful, but I'm also disheartened that Sarah has such a developed philosophy about mansplaining.
Yeah,
I would
says
say
a lot about her friends, doesn't it?
No, I don't think my friends do. At least my profession.
Yeah, well, I'll have to talk to Alec about this.
Oh, dear, I said. Like I said, I completely value y'all's opinion, too. I think it's really important, and it's unfair to not hear y'all's opinion, too.
All right, that feels like a good place to wrap.
All right.
Cool. All right, y'all have a nice rest of your day.
Yeah, you too. Bye, guys.
Peace.
Thanks for coming to Philosophy Club. This episode was produced and edited, and its music was created by our super talented friend, Sam Roller.